Welcome to a conversation about women, church, and culture.
And just a reminder, this is for our River family. Obviously, anybody who wants to listen to this can, but we're not trying to talk to the whole world. We're talking to our River family because trust is high. And we don't assume everybody in the world cares what we think, but we assume our church family does. So what are we talking about today?
Well, I thought we'd talk about philosophy of ministry. So can you tell us a bit about what that is and what it looks like at River?
I have no idea what a philosophy of ministry is. Yeah. So you can think about a philosophy of ministry like maybe the rules for a sport. Or, you know, what's football like versus soccer, football, or American football versus other countries' football. How many yards is the field? How many downs do you get? How do you play? What's a ball shaped like? What are the rules? What's in bounds? What's out of bounds? And so everybody has a philosophy, and philosophy can sometimes be a bad word for Christians, but it just literally means a lover of wisdom. So everybody has a philosophy of work or parenting or teaching or coaching. They may not know they have it, but they do. It's the things that drive how they do what they do, what they don't do. The problem is when it's not thought through and consistently followed. Sometimes people don't know they have a philosophy of ministry, and so it means they end up playing the foot of a basketball ball, you know, and that doesn't work.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
No.
So sometimes you talk in New Member about our factory illustration. Could you go over that briefly? Because I think it sometimes helps us to understand how River philosophy of ministry might be different than what people may have experienced in some other churches.
Yeah, so it's not a great analogy for a church because we're not a factory, but it still works. I like it. So if you think about a factory, you've got raw materials coming in, you have processes inside the factory, then you're producing something. And you don't start, you build a factory and say, let's turn this on and see what comes out. You have in mind clearly, what do you want to produce?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
right.
And then, so the raw materials, if you will, is the word of God, you know, God's word, God's spirit, God's people. What we want to produce is what God's told us he wants to produce, full-time followers of Christ, training to be more like Jesus. And so then the factory itself, the church, the processes, the ministries, how you do things, that is all based on philosophy of ministry. And so sometimes people
right.
will say, I like what's being produced here, people, change people, so forth. And but I want you to do things like I did them at my church. That's the processes of the philosophy of ministry. And we have to tell them, well, they're all tied together. What, you know, how we do things is a part of what's being produced here.
Mm-hmm. So we sometimes describe it as values-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What are some other things that we sometimes see in other churches, like tradition-driven
yeah.
or
personality-driven?
Personality-driven, right?
Yeah.
Or
maybe driven by certain programs, program-driven,
mm-hmm.
people-driven, you know, tradition-driven versus values-driven, biblical values driving what we do.
Good. It was really helpful to me when I first heard that to just kind of distinguish between some of the different driving forces and how people do church. So how is a philosophy of ministry different than theology?
Well, theology is what God has said to us in his word. It's what shapes our beliefs, values, behaviors. We don't get the monkey with God's word. Philosophy of ministry is us taking what God has said, our theology, and bringing it into our specific setting, developing plans, processes, principles, how we do meetings that will allow us to make decisions that are wise, situationally relevant, in line with God's word. So if you think about, let's jump to like a philosophy of parenting. Every parent has one. It may not be very good or thought through, but a philosophy of parenting may, you know, be based on a scripture like parents don't exasperate your children, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. And so part of their philosophy of parenting would be, okay, we're going to work together to set clear expectations for kids based on a privilege responsibility mix, which I think you're going to explain here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to consistently follow through on those expectations. So you're coming up with how are we going to do this in our setting, and then how you do that in practice changes as your kids go from little bitties to high school. And so we have a philosophy of parenting for our kids, but they're grown mm-hmm. based on biblical principles, but it's very different than our philosophy of parenting when our kids were little bitties.
Yeah. So why do you need a philosophy of ministry instead of just being reactive to different things as they come up?
Well, I would contend that everybody has a philosophy of ministry. Every teacher has a philosophy of teaching. Every parent has a philosophy. Mm-hmm. The problem is they're like expectations in relationships. It's been said that everybody has expectations in relationship. The problem is not expectations. The problem is when we're unaware we have them. When they're not communicated, they're not realistic, and they're not consistent. So the mm-hmm. the philosophy of ministry, I would say you need one. Really, you have one. What you need is to make sure that it's a good one.
Yes.
And that you're aware of it, and that you're consistent, and that it's biblical.
Yes. Good. So why is it important to be consistent?
Well, it's kind of in line with what we talked about, but unlike theology, which we can't monkey with, our philosophy of ministry is our application of biblical principles to our setting. And so that, for one thing, it would mean we can, when the situation warrants, we can adjust our philosophy of ministry to meet the principle behind it. In the military, they have a thing called exception to policy. So there's Air Force policy. It's the rules from on high that you don't monkey with unless there's a situation on the ground where the principle behind that policy requires an exception to the policy. So we don't get any exception to policies to Scripture. We don't get to say, hey, we got to bargain this
right.
this month, you know, 8 out
right.
of 10 commandments you pick.
Yeah, that'd
you know?
Be bad.
But if our philosophy of ministry, it could be, and it should be rare, we can have an exception to policy where to meet the biblical principle behind this, our policy or whatever, then we're going to give an exception. So it needs to be consistent, because if you have a philosophy of parenting, this sort of, you know, shoot from the hip, whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. It doesn't create stable kids. It's
right.
rolling the dice, and you don't want to roll the dice with your kids. And if you have an unthought-through, non-consistent philosophy of ministry at church, then what happens is the wrong people are going to take over,
yeah.
usually, and wrong attitudes and all kind of bad stuff follows.
Good.
So I got some questions for you.
Okay.
I'm done with you asking me questions.
All right.
It's your turn. So tell me, what are in your mind, what are some of the core components of River's philosophy of ministry? What would be a couple of big ones you can think of?
Well, privilege responsibility, which means that if someone has responsibility, they should have a corresponding level of privilege. And so if someone's given the responsibility, say, of leading group, then they should have the privilege of setting some of the parameters of the group. Now, of course, if those leaders are following the heart attitudes, they're putting the success of others above their own. Privilege is never taken to lord it over someone. It's actually to serve someone, but someone has to take responsibility. And you have the perfect example in your family of privilege responsibility. So could you share that with us?
Yeah, it was when Crystal was little, and she was 4 years older than her next sister. And so she got old enough to do some small chores. And so we told her, you're going to start doing these chores. And she complained. She said, this is not fair. Corey and Casey don't have to do chores, and I do. And I said, okay, you don't have to do chores. And she smiled and thought she'd won the day.
She sure did.
And I thought, yeah, but you don't have to do anything your sisters don't have to do. You don't get to do anything your sisters don't get to do. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, well, they don't get to, she had a little best friend next door named Annie. They don't get to go spend the day or the night with Annie, so you can't either. And they don't get to go on these excursions with me, so you don't either. And then she stopped and said, I'll do my chores. So it was teaching her, we're not just giving you more responsibility, we're giving you more privilege. When you give someone privilege without corresponding responsibility, then it undermines the system. You know, like in a church, mm-hmm. people who get privilege without responsibility are going to hijack the church. They're going
right.
to take it towards selfish ends. On the other hand, if you give people responsibility but not corresponding privilege, then it exasperates people.
Yeah. And Crystal's always been a sharp one. She
yeah.
did the math
she,
and figured out what was best.
She did do the math.
So another core component of our philosophy of ministry would be faithfulness. We sometimes describe that as time will tell, because faithfulness is demonstrated over time. And then we also emphasize application over mere information. You know, we want information about what the Bible tells us about how to live our lives, but we also want to be able to live that out and do that in community.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, every pastor I know of would agree, in our association, would generally agree on biblical principles, but we're resolutely committed to application. So information without application, without motivation over time, which is relational, is what leads to transformation. Information by itself, even biblically, doesn't lead to transformation.
Yeah, that's right.
So what are some examples you can think of or applications of how this, you've mentioned some, but what does this look like at River? So maybe like your life. You read an article recently, you shared with me about women's ministries, and then how have we kind of put our money where our mouth is
right.
In terms of you?
Yes. Well, I read an article. It was really eye-opening to me. I wasn't completely surprised, but it was talking about the value of women's ministry and, you know, not just what people were saying, but how they were putting it into practice. And so they did a survey, and for churches over 500 in attendance, only 29% of them had women in paid full-time positions, and 24% were paid part-time, and 46% were unpaid. And on top of that, 86% of them had a lack of formal theological training, which, you know, based on our philosophy of ministry is so important because we're trying to develop disciples, followers of Christ. And so, you know, I have a master's degree, as does Sherry, and River has paid for that. And there is no difference in how different genders are paid. If you have the same role, you are paid equivalently. And so, you know, that is one way that we've seen that at River.
Yes, as an example of applying philosophy of ministry, privilege, responsibility specifically to the women's ministry.
Right.
And not saying we've got this philosophy of ministry, but it only applies to one gender versus another.
Right.
And what about in terms of the ministry overall, like in terms of another thing that we sometimes say is meetings that matter. I grew up in a church where there was a lot of redundancy in meetings. So basically you would do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, kind of the same kind of things.
Yeah.
And that's fine, but meetings that matter means that we're honoring people's time.
Yes.
And we're also very specifically trying to get what we think God wants done. And so we're not just doing stuff. What's that quote from Blackaby that you've said several times?
Well, early on, when I was a young believer, I went to a seminar and heard him speak. And even at that point, it really stuck out to me. He said, the church bulletin should not look like a community center. And, you know, part of his point was that meetings should matter. And part of the work of the ministry is for us to go and make disciples. That's what Matthew 28 tells us. For every single believer is to go and make disciples. And, you know, we do want to have events here that bring in people who don't know the Lord, but we also want our people to be out engaged in the world doing the work of the ministry in their particular setting. So, yeah.
And it can be really easy to kind of hole up in a holy huddle here at the church and just think that if we're doing lots of stuff, lots of meetings, that we're doing the work of the ministry.
Right.
But doing all these meetings, you know, even if they're fun and helpful, can actually be the enemy of the mission.
Right. Right. And we try to walk the line between coffee and content. We talk about that sometimes with our small groups, that it's just an easy way to remember it. So you don't have to literally have coffee. But the whole point is, you know, the coffee part, there's the social relational part. And then the content, there's understanding, you know, how do we live a life that we're walking with God? You know, it's the whole faithfulness that we come back to. And so we even think about that not just with small groups, but just with how we do events or activities or any meetings. You know, that's behind it in our minds. And sometimes one of those events might be heavier on one of those, the coffee or the content, but we our goal is to get them all in.
Yeah, and another thing that's challenging over the year is encouraging people to have personal ministry.
Yes.
A part of our philosophy of ministry. We're not trying to control everybody.
Right.
We want to release them to do ministry, but we are going to control what we sort of officially sanction, because we eventually, it can very quickly become mission drift.
Yes.
And we're doing a lot of meetings, and we're not actually doing the mission. So Christy and I, for instance, we've had hundreds, and that's no exaggeration, hundreds of personal events, mm-hmm. from 100 people to week-long retreats for the Indy Sitter kids, staying at our house, staying at our property. We've pulled off piano concerts, all kind of things. I don't advertise them at church. That's
right.
Not River, but it's us, even
right.
though I'm the pastor. And so we tell people who have some vision for something, knock yourself out, go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say, well, we want you to do this. Well, we can't do everything everybody wants to do. You and
right.
I joked about how to really meet everybody's need, we'd have to give everybody a thermostat and everybody a volume control
yes,
on Sunday morning.
That's true. That's very
but
true.
But we have to do what's best for the most people.
Yes. Yes. It's such a balance. And we encourage people to go out and engage in their particular context, because it's like what Acts 17:26 says, you know, God put us in the exact time and place so that we could go out, and part of it is help other people to know the Lord. And that's not a direct quote from the Bible, but you can look up Acts 17:26. I love that.
That's pretty close.
The exact time and place. Yeah. And another quote that you and I have talked about recently, there's a professor, Dr. Julia Higgins at Southeastern Seminary, and I recently read one of her books. And one of the things that I appreciated that she said is, she said, often a women's ministry has been driven by events rather than a vision for discipleship. And it's just really important for us to keep those in tension, because we do want events, because events facilitate discipleship. But we don't want to do events just for the sake of having something on the calendar.
Yeah, yeah. And we've had, over the years, we've had people that really were passionate, good people, but they wanted to form a kind of personal ministry that was contrary to our philosophy of ministry. And we said, well, we're not going to stop you from doing that. But then they got frustrated with us because we weren't going to sanction and endorse it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's back to that same thing we've just talked about, the good of the many versus the good of the few.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to balance that. But in the end, we have to take the good of the many over the good of the
yeah.
one or the few.
It's good.
So what about like women's rally versus a women's bunko night, which I've never been to and never planned to go to. Still don't really understand what bunko is.
Yeah,
but,
I don't really either.
But a summer event where you've gone to the park. You know, all these things have very specific purposes. And you can't do everything at every event. So Sunday
right.
morning, we're trying to pray, sing and worship and preach.
Right.
That's it. Very specific.
Right.
In small groups, we're very specifically trying to do coffee and content.
Yeah.
We go to Colorado. We have specific mm-hmm. goals for our church. So
right.
what are some differences in, like, if you think about women's event over the course of a year,
mm-hmm.
not individual things that women pull off, but stuff that kind of officially you lead, how would you say those differ from one another, and how are they the same, and what are some of the differences?
Well, some of the primary things that I have in my mind to have on the calendar each year, some of this is the same whether it's men or women. Like, we generally have a rally in the fall and a rally in the spring, both men and women. And our goal for that, the content might look different, but really it is to come and rally together, to encourage one another daily, to put courage in one another. And we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to pray. And we are also going to have some kind of message or some kind of testimony. You know, it's going to vary. And part of that is just trying to discern what the Lord is doing in different people's lives at different times. And we recognize that it's never going to hit everyone's felt need.
Right.
That's just not going to be how it happens. But we hope and pray that over time that people's needs are met, you know, their actual need, which may not necessarily be what they feel they need. And then the difference between the rallies and the summer, you know, most of our groups take time off in the summer. Some of them might still meet, but we encourage them to meet less because part of that is summer is different. People have family vacations, but we also try to have an event in the summer that is more social. Now, you know, there are times where we decide that, okay, there's this opportunity for this conference or simulcast or those kinds of things, and we opt to do that. But part of it is we just want to give people different opportunities to connect. And we did do a Bunko, not last year, but the previous year. And it was really fun.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Even though I couldn't tell you the rules, I played and I talked to people and we had food and we had fun. And so, you know, we try to meet some of those different needs.
Yeah. And it's similar to if someone comes in and hears a single sermon, then they can come away, and people have sometimes said, well, you didn't preach on this. And I said, well, I can't preach on the whole Bible every Sunday. I mean, that'd be like a, you know, 100-hour sermon.
Yeah.
Nobody can. So what I very specifically do is I don't even preach for like biblical. I want to be biblical and biblically balanced, but I'm not preaching for holistic balance, even in a month, even in a year. I'm thinking 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so the same thing with our meetings or even the women's ministry or men's ministry, we're not trying to do everything every time.
Right.
They each have their own specific purpose.
Yeah.
And those are going to be different. And if you're in a different place depending on the meeting that day, it may not be where you are. But just wait.
That's right.
Next time we do it, it's going to be exactly where you are and what you need.
That's right. Well, and one of the things that we encourage people to do is we think about how we commit to this family, right? It's not a consumer-driven activity. It's a family. The Bible tells us that we are a family, and sometimes we defer to other people's preferences, and we show up. We show up because we don't show up just thinking, what do I get out of this?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a natural human reflex, but, you know, when we learn what the Lord says about the value of community and the church and the family, sometimes we're showing up and we may get something out of it we don't expect, or we may bless someone in a way that we may not even know. You know, it's a very mutual kind of experience.
That's a great point. And you bring up another key scripture/philosophy of ministry point, which is put the interests of others ahead of yourself.
Yep.
And everybody who believes the Bible would believe that, but putting it into practice in how you actually live your life and do things.
Yeah.
So the idea of in a family, you know, you don't get what you want to eat every meal, you
right.
know. And we just had our Thanksmas combined event, and a good bit of what we did wasn't something I necessarily would have picked. I mean, there's games that the kids love to play that
right.
bore me, and there's things that I would have liked to have done that they don't want to do. But overall, we were all enriched and grew and blessed mm-hmm. and had fun as we were eating different foods, not our favorite every time, playing different games, not our favorite every time.
Right.
And part of it is training kids to do that, because the grandkids, they all want to play their game. They want to eat their food every time.
Yeah.
And part of helping them grow up is to operate in a family. And part of growing up in the faith is helping people say, you're in a family.
Yeah.
And you show up not just for you, you show up for them.
Yeah.
And you don't just show up, you show up and you say, I'm in.
Yeah, that's right.
For you.
You participate.
Yeah.
Because that's another one of our values. You know, we have these seven heart attitudes on the wall outside of the sanctuary because that really is, we are value driven. And those are our primary seven core values that we talk about when people join the church. So the first one on the list is participate in the ministry. And that can look a lot of different ways.
Yep. Yeah. And that what that means is I participate in the parts that I like, right?
Well, if we only did the things that we thought we wanted or would get something out of, I think that we would be in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
At least I would, for sure.
Exactly. No, that's a good point. And I think back to why philosophy of ministry, well, you have one, but when churches, or we're going to do a marriage, I mean, we're going to do a parenting, some training this spring. And when parents aren't aware of their philosophy of ministry, or they're inconsistent, or it's unbiblical, mm-hmm. all kind of things can go wrong. What are some things that go wrong when either you don't have a philosophy of ministry, or it's not thought through, or it's not held to consistently?
Yeah.
Can you think of some specific?
So what are some things that could go wrong?
Yeah, if you're not aware you have one, or you're not consistent, or it's just not biblical.
I think you can be blown about by the winds of different needs and by what culture says and communicates to us. And so it's just been really helpful for me to understand, you know, the value of a philosophy of ministry, or just understanding why I do the things I do, why I would want to do things the way I should, if that makes sense.
No, I think that's exactly right, because it's the way my mentor described it. It's really how you call things in bounds and out of bounds. You think about a American football game where the guy takes off on a play, runs up in the stands, and the quarterback throws a ball up in the stands, and he runs around the back of the end zone and spikes it and says, "I score." No, you're out of bounds.
Yeah.
And if there are no rules, then what you're seeing is pure chaos.
Yeah.
And it allows churches to say, that's out of bounds. And you say, well, show me chapter and verse on that. Well, I can't show you chapter and verse, but here's how we have taken biblical principles, applied them in our setting, and we're going to say no.
Yeah.
Because you and I get people calling us with a deal every week.
Yeah.
And so we don't have to think through everything in depth, because we already have some biblical and church developed parameters for what's in bounds and out of bounds.
Yeah.
So, because how many people call and ask us for money with their ministry?
Right.
And how do we decide who gets it?
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's really helpful. You know, and as a church, unity of purpose is so important. You know, I heard a business speaker not too long ago, and he talked a lot about purpose. Now, his purpose was very different than ours, but everybody is looking for some kind of purpose, and we have the highest purpose, the highest calling, you know, to go forth and make disciples. And the goal of the church is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and that's really what's behind what we think about. And as part of that, we also have to work on unity of perspective, or unity in what we believe the Bible says about how we're supposed to live our lives, especially the theological doctrines related to salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well said. I can't improve on that. Any parting thoughts?
Nope. I guess my parting thought is I'm just really grateful for our church, and I'm grateful that we're not perfect. We're just trying to be faithful to what the Lord wants us to do, and go out there and grow in faithfulness and make disciples.
Yep. Merry Christmas.
Just a quick addendum. We also want you to know that our topics are chosen because of numerous conversations we've had with people over the years. So if you've never wondered about some of these things, it might be helpful for you to know that others have. And if you have asked about some of these topics, then just know that others have also wondered about these same things. And we are never going to pick a topic just based on one conversation. So we are hopeful that these conversations will be helpful and illuminating for people. We're so grateful for you.